Well, yes, Lord. He is so good. All the time, that's it. Next week is Fall Back Sunday. That doesn't mean fall back to what you were in before. It doesn't mean that you are not Christian anymore. Just means that the time changes. So those of you that roll in late, don't change your clocks. And we'll welcome you as if you're here on time. It's the one Sunday of the year you look like a hero. Well, I'm here early. Isn't that good? Thanks, Jesus. He's doing such good things. He's getting us ready for more and more.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's just increasing our ability to handle what we have and to fight the overcomer, the guy that thinks he can overcome us, and to battle him. We battle not against flesh and blood, right? Principalities and powers and forces and evil, that kind of stuff. So you don't fight with your neighbors or your friends or your spouse or your kids. That's not where our fight is. It's against the enemy. Hallelujah. One of the most ferocious fights in the kingdom is a fight for money. In North America, it is anyway. The enemy wants to withhold from the church and from God's people, but God has plans that can't be thwarted by the enemy.
Amen.
I feel like I'm a long way away. I'm just going to kind of move up a little bit here. Nobody will notice. God has plans. Now, I don't like preaching about money, although I was trained in handling money. I'm dying here. Is that okay? It's attached to my money, so it's all good. Here. There we go. I preach very seldom about tithing because of perception more than anything. Televangelists, the church has been perceived as money grubbing, always looking for money, always asking for money, always trying to manipulate for money. I purpose to never do that because I believe that God's big enough to move hearts, to change hearts, to bring what he needs brought. And he's kept us alive for 23 years. We just had our anniversary on Thanksgiving. 23 years, we've relied on him every week because without him we wouldn't have survived. But it's not about, like, the tithe issue. You might have guessed I'm going to preach sort of about it. The tithe issue isn't about just giving money so that the church exists. That's one of the offshoots of it. But it's a huge, huge principle in the kingdom. It's when you catch it, when you see what's involved in it, it makes an incredible difference. It's when we came into the kingdom, my bride and I, we were just in the church for a couple or three months, and we went to a class, and they taught us about tithe. We looked at each other and said, yep, we got to do that. And we've been doing it ever since. And we were taught simply that if you tithe, then God blesses you, and he will help you to live through the month. Where you didn't have enough money to make it through the month, where there wasn't enough, or there was no money left, and there was still lots of month left. God would help you to make it through that time, and He has with us every month, every week, every whatever. There were times when we didn't have money, and food would arrive, or money would arrive, or all of those kind of things, because God takes responsibility for us. And that's the way we were taught, and it's a good way, but it's so small compared to God's real plan with money and what actually is happening. So I'm preaching to you for your sake, if you'll catch it. So put on your catcher's mitts, because I got something for you that will make a huge difference in your life if you can go with it. Lord, would you open our hearts and open our eyes as we open your word. I preached about it 2 weeks ago, and if you want to hear some of the justification of the tithe, you can pick that up off the internet. I talk about why I think that tithing is a New Testament principle. I'm not going to reiterate that today. It just is. It came in before the law, and Jesus endorsed it, and the New Testament says, you should do what Jesus said. And we should. But I want to talk about this cyclical principle that comes in the tithe. It always costs to be part of a family, or in any way, it will always cost you. So you can't be part of a family and not contribute. You can't be part of a family and not have a sacrifice for that family. Many have been brought up with no expectation within the family. They didn't have chores. They didn't have to pay any rent while they were with their mom and dad. And those kind of things have not helped the people that were in that situation, the kids, to become responsible members of churches and families, because they don't get the idea of it costs. There's a sacrifice in all of this stuff. Now, I say that just because it's true. In your household families, it's important to know that, and in a church family, it's important to know that. There's a principle of God placed you somewhere, and the tithe is your vote to say, I recognize where I'm supposed to be, and I'm bringing it here. In Malachi, it says, bring the tithe into the storehouse that there might be food. Food there isn't O. Henry bars and Coke. It isn't physical food so much as it is something that is spiritual. Jesus, when he was talking to the woman at the well, sent the guys for food, right? That go get some hamburgers for us. And he sat by the well because he was too tired to go. And when they came back, he said, come on, let's go. Keep your burger. I'm out of here. And they said, what's going on? He said, I've had food you know not of. He made a direct reference to food being spiritual sustenance. The stuff that you come in here hungry for every week, right? Yeah. The stuff that builds us and helps us to grow spiritual understanding. And that is the kind of food that is in the storehouse. Some people pay their tithes to one church and attend at another. I think that's just wrong. So if you're attending here and you think you belong to another church, don't tithe here, please. The idea is You don't eat at one restaurant and pay the bill at another.
Wow.
Right? That makes sense? Anyway. There's always a sacrifice, and you got to be willing to pay it to be a part of the family, and I love doing that stuff. Turn with me to Luke 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Jesus speaking says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth," in a, says mammon in some of your translations, your Bibles. So if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? One of the understandings in the kingdom is that there are territorial spirits. The one that's over North America, or one of the primary ones, is mammon, I think. And mammon is money. And it moves with, in greed and lust and poverty spirit. It tries to keep people from ever having enough. And you'll see its temples, we call them shopping malls. You may even have been in one. But if you don't recognize that a spirit is prevalent in an area, you won't be able to move in the opposite spirit, and then you will become influenced by that spirit. I don't mean possessed by that spirit, but you'll be influenced by the spirit. And if you don't move in the opposite spirit to mammon, you will be influenced by it. It will take over, and you will be persuaded to do the things that it wants you to do instead of what God wants you to do. And I think it's important to follow the right principle. Anyway, so mammon, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, you will. Who will entrust to you true riches? And it's that true riches that I want to talk about. If we don't know how to handle unrighteous mammon, who will entrust true riches to us? So if I'm good with money, then the thing that we come here to church for, true riches, will be entrusted to me. Now, what kind of a principle is that? It's a weird one to me. We're here for true riches. Now, when I first read this, I understood true riches to be way more money. So if I was faithful with a little bit, then true riches had come my way. It has nothing to do with that. It's way bigger than that. True riches are the things that we hunger for. Healing, deliverance, understanding of spiritual principles, more of God. Those kind of things are true riches. True riches are what we come through this door for every weekend.
Hallelujah.
It's so good. And so true riches come into us. The authentic, the things that God wants for us to have. Lifestyle of triumphant victory that Jesus led. Oh, the saving of souls. The breaking of poverty in our area. That's why we're here week after week. The common heartbeat says, I want the genuine, I want the authentic. But Jesus made something clear that we don't always get, that there is a connection between what I do with what's in my wallet or in my bank account, that is money in this case, and spiritual resources. There's a direct connection. It applies in a much broader way than just money. It applies in the area of favor. It applies in the area of anointing, insight or wisdom that God gives you. It applies in family relationships and the job, all the realms of influence that we can walk in Jesus. So Jesus says that how I handle money can give me access to the unseen realm, which is true spiritual wisdom.
Amen.
Right? And true spiritual riches, sorry. Obedience in this realm, in the realm that we walk in, that we recognize that most of us believe is all that we have as we see each other here. Obedience here and now qualifies me at a level where I can be trusted in the unseen realms. I can be trusted with really important stuff. So Malachi 3, I want to go there for just a minute. This is the famous, it's the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi 3, verses 8 to 11, the famous tithing verses. Eight, where are we? Yeah. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Now that's a funny thing for God to say, isn't it? If we're robbing him, we're taking something that belongs to him. Right? Right? So if you look at that in connection with Luke 16, we just read, he was faithful with another man's money. Right? Well, God's saying that money is mine. And if you're not paying it, you're robbing me. And so that doesn't, if you're doing that, you don't qualify for true spiritual riches.
Well.
It's simple. Your access is denied. Your debit card is declined. I love getting approved on a debit card reading. Just makes me feel so good. Fulfilled. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. The only place that I'm aware of that God says it's not only legal, but he says, bring it on. Test me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Is there need right now?
Amen.
I think there is. And so we're looking for God to hold up his end. And then he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you.
Hallelujah.
So that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, or the vine in your field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, Jesus. So we rob God because we've withheld the tithes and the offerings. Now, what's God doing here? Spiritual stuff is weird, I think. Because you can't grab it. Right? You can't hold on to it. This God of mine, I can't give him a hug. You know, I can't kiss his feet. I can't do anything because it's not there. So what he's doing here is giving us a measurable process where you are. Right? Now, I'm not talking about if you are really wealthy, that means you must be really spiritual. That has nothing to do with it. God reigns on the just and the unjust alike. He can bring wealth to people. I'm talking about the spiritual riches, true spiritual riches. We can quantify, I am doing this, so therefore heavens are open. Open heavens is a visitation from God. God himself coming. And see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth blessing, right? So anything you need comes with him. And you'll be able to measure it, measure the response. He's giving us a measurable test. He says, come and test me in this. Let's go. You give me that, and I'll pour out this other stuff for you and watch what happens. But more importantly, to me anyway, is that he will rebuke the devourer. Now, do you ever think about that? There's a devourer out there. What does a devourer do? How many different ways can you think of a devourer being able to take things from you? I think of rust as a devourer. Or things just disappearing from your bank account, or your clothes wearing out, or your car needing fixing, or your health being poor, or relationships being poor, all open to the purview of the devourer. And if he rebukes the devourer for our sake, then I think it's a good thing.
Amen.
Right? I don't think any of us have the wherewithal to defeat the devourer on our own. Because he says that he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. If he has to do it, if I could do it, he would have said, go ahead and do it. You tithe, I'll give you the right. But he says, I got to do that. And he's going to do that. It's really big and it's really cool anyway. So spiritual obedience releases something in the natural. So if I obey God and do the thing that he said in the natural, bringing the tithe in, then it opens up the spiritual. But it also works the other way around. In 3 John, in the New Testament, here we go. James, keep going. 2 John, 3 John, there we are. There's only one chapter in it, so 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? Now, what that says in other translations is that that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So there's two things that we can watch and see that you prosper financially, it's talking about there, that you prosper financially and that you're in good health if your soul or your unseen realm goes well. Right? So if it goes, if it's going well out here, in the physical, there is a spiritual component as well, that your soul is well. So you prosper and be in good health, two natural ones as the soul prospers in the unseen realm. You experience true riches internally, and that releases something externally. Right? Your soul does well, and as your soul does well, so will your... And what's your soul? Sorry, I should tell you that. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? And as that, as the kingdom within you grows, so will your external kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That's another way to put it. So as you build the spiritual, then this cycle happens. You grow externally.
Amen.
And as you grow externally, it helps you grow internally.
Amen.
And the cycle is replicated and goes on. Because the idea is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. All of these things. Proverbs has this idea, and it says, don't pursue money, pursue wisdom as a principle. But then it says, if you pursue wisdom, you will get rich. Nice. It works. Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, heading into the desert, the last thing that happened was that God gave them all of the riches of Egypt. All of the gold, all of the silver, everything they had. They gave it to the Israelites, and the Israelites left with all of that stuff. And so every blessing that was available to them, they took with them. But very soon into their journey, they turned that into a golden calf. Now there's a principle involved there that we need to be aware of and need to watch. Every blessing from God in our lives has the potential to shape the course of history or become a golden calf, so to speak. As he pours out blessing, what we do with it and where our focus is will determine what it becomes. Will it become a blessing to us and those around us, or will it become a golden calf which builds my personal kingdom and not the kingdom of God? We have to be people of principle. People that live in divine values. When God sets the thing that we have been seeking before us and it's at hand, we make this choice, and will wisdom push me into the kingdom value and proper stewardship of what God has given me, what God has laid under my charge, or will I let my focus stray? So, you seek the kingdom of God, and you go after all that he has, and so you start noticing that your bank account is increasing, and you start being able to live in just a little bit different way, and that is feeling pretty good. So you focus on the money, forgetting what got you there, and we're all subject to this. Then our focus is off the kingdom and on to the golden calf. And when we do that, we lose both. So if you seek wisdom, you gain money, it says in Proverbs. You gain riches. But if you seek riches, you get neither wisdom nor money. So it's important for us to be people of strong spiritual core values and to work on strengthening our core. Now, that's an athletic term, you know. When I was a kid, they didn't understand how some people were able to leap high And other people just couldn't at all. Couldn't jump. Had no no hops. You know? Until they discovered that it's the your inner core. There's a muscles that are right around your backbone. The inner muscles that you can strengthen by doing all kinds of odd movements and strengthen those things. And by strengthening the core, your ability to leap increased. You could lift weights all day long, you know, doing squat thrusts and all of those kind of things, and your ability to jump wouldn't go up measurably. But if you worked with one of those balls that you try to keep your balance on, then all of a sudden you're able to jump 2 or 3 or 4 inches higher. And it's all about internal stuff, working on the core. Cross training. And you focus on, like the idea is that you want to jump, but you don't make your focus jumping. Just jumping, jumping, jumping isn't going to get you there. You're focusing on something else.
Wow.
Right? And you get that as an offshoot. So we get this idea that we focus on spiritual things, the things that are important to God. What's that mean, Pastor? Read this thing.
Hallelujah.
Is that too difficult? Talk to the guy who wrote it. He's there for you all the time. That's seeking spiritual things. There's other ways too, but start there. It's just that easy. So the moment I shift my focus away from what is valuable according to God, I turn it to the reward and I end up losing both. It's not... Now, you hear that and you think, ugh. You know, when that song we sang earlier today, you can take things in a couple of different ways. It says, you know, about God, He gives and takes away. It gives and takes away. Now, a friend of mine came to me after he tried to sing that the first time. He says, "What kind of a God is that? That's not my God. He doesn't give it to me and then take it away." And I said, I don't see it that way. He gives us something and He takes away something else. He takes away something bad and gives us something good.
Hallelujah.
He said, "Oh, I can sing that." He gives and takes away. It's how you look at it. So when our focus becomes something other than the spiritual thing, the thing that God wants us to focus on, the thing that God is talking to us about, and you won't have any doubt about what he's talking to you about if you just pay a little bit of attention. That if you lose the focus on that and you turn it to getting wealthy, or, you know, raising your bank account, or, you know, one of those things. If you're focusing on something else, then you lose both. Now, we can think that as punishment, right? But I don't think it's punishment at all. I think it's God helping us. He's protecting me, because if He increases the reward at that point, I have violated the nature of the kingdom, and I attract to myself a devourer that I'm not able to handle. So if I'm going after money, and that isn't working, that things aren't working out properly, then God doesn't pour out blessings in that area. He removes it, that ability from us. Because we can't handle the devourer that would be released, because I've broken the spiritual laws of the kingdom. And it is very true. A very simple example, and I'll go through this pretty quickly here. We had breakfast with a couple, and they have been faithful tithers for years. But because of some circumstances, they decided that they would tithe most of their money, but then they would withhold just this little bit until this circumstance changed in their lives, so that they'd have enough money at the end of the month and that kind of stuff. And it just, it was always hard for them to make it through the month. There just wasn't enough money, and so they would have to adjust their eating and living style for the last week or 2 weeks of the month in order to make it through, when they hadn't before, and it didn't make sense to them. And when one day this guy says, I'm going to tithe the whole tithe, just because he felt like that was the right thing to do. And as he did that, their ability to make it through the month all of a sudden wasn't an issue anymore. And he said, I'm scared to look at it because there's no more money going in there, but our ability to go through it changed. He said, I know there's not been any deposits in there, and I know that everything is leaving because he checks it every day, but everything changed as soon as we brought the whole tithe. And he said, I feel so much better. I feel so much more alive. Now, I didn't talk to him about it. It's just something that he and God had done. And we fail to recognize that the devourer has a right to us. The devourer is a legalist. And if we're not doing it properly, he'll say, I have a right. I'm going after them. I don't say that to scare anybody. It's just there. It just is. So, God gives us this cycle where we work on the spiritual, and then we can see the natural, and then we keep working the spiritual, the natural increases so that we can use the natural resources to further the kingdom, and that allows us to work on the spiritual more, and around and around and around it goes. So the cycle is to position people to come into their destiny. It's impossible for us to disciple nations without prosperity. You notice that in Malachi he said that he would give us the nations. I will rebuke the devourer, then all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a land of delight, he says. We need to be discipling nations. We need to be a missional people and always working toward that end. But prosperity, that word just kind of brings kind of shivers to you, doesn't it? Because it's been abused so much. It's been approached from a North American aspect, and it isn't transferable to most of the world. But as long as you work on the spiritual aspect of it, as long as it's a kingdom value to you, it's totally transferable.
Amen. Jesus.
Because God is in it.
Amen.
It's not about working on the money side of things, which people in far-off nations try to do, and it doesn't work because their focus is wrong. The focus has to be on working the core. Then you'll be able to jump.
That's good.
Right?
Jesus.
It's impossible to disciple nations without abundance or a sense of abundance. You need that in order to make things work. It's about how we position ourselves in the kingdom. We love it, you know, when we see this stuff working a little bit. So we love watching people when they're getting this idea of seek first the kingdom of God. But somehow we don't love it so much when all of these things are added to people. How come they get it and I don't? Right? The spiritual principle. I love when you go after it. But when you're going after the kingdom and money's added to you, then we get jealous. There's something the matter with that. We're not always happy with them when things are added to them. We love it when people give in secret, but we're not happy with them when God rewards them openly. And that cycle works in the kingdom. When you give in secret, he rewards openly. When you seek first the kingdom, then he will, all of these things will be added unto you. We tend to embrace the first half of the message without knowing how to celebrate the other half.
Oh, preach it.
And we need to recognize that. And that's prosperity with a purpose. It doesn't matter what God puts in our hands, whether it's $1,000, whether it's $10 or $100 million. When God puts it in your hand, it's the opportunity to shape the course of history in some way or another. He puts something in our hands, and if you are faithful with little, that opens the spirit realm to true riches. Whether it's $10 or $100 million, being faithful with it opens it up to the divine purpose that it was intended for, to shape the course of history. Or if we apply it improperly and apply it according to our ideas and not go after the spiritual side of things, then there's an opportunity to turn it into the golden calf. It doesn't matter if it's anointing in your life or healing or insight and wisdom or revelation or $1 million. It doesn't matter what God is putting in your hands. You need to handle it properly. You need to handle it for the kingdom. Every blessing God puts in our life can be used for self-promotion, or it can be used to build a golden calf in that way, or it can be used for godly purposes. I'm not talking about what God gives us to live on. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, right? The bread is for eating. The seed is for sowing. You don't plant your bread and you don't eat your seed. It's important to know the difference. But when he gives you seed, it's important that we use it in kingdom value processes and not for our own, feathering our own nest, if you would. Your nest will be feathered by God if you pursue the things that he wants pursued. Going after the kingdom will be rewarded, and you will enjoy your life. And the bread that you eat will be increased, and the people around you will enjoy the bread that you eat. Your sphere of influence will increase, and you're designed to have provision for the people around you.
Wow, praise God.
If you just understand the principle of going after what God wants you to go after. Now, the very first test in that, in this kingdom principle, is the tithe. The tithe. If you bring the full tithe into the storehouse, then you get to test God in it, because you will have access to his presence, to all of the spiritual true riches, and the devourer will be rebuked for your sake. The tithe is a huge basic step into kingdom reality and into kingdom wonder. And it's important to catch it and to live in it and to focus on what he's doing there and watch the other stuff that he will allow you to quantify. He'll allow you to look at it and watch how it grows. Watch how your bank balance grows. Watch how your ability to pray for people and see healing grows. Watch how your relationships get better. All based on your doing what he asked you to do. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Isn't that wonderful silence? Who hasn't been doing it? Stand. I'm just going to pray for you, and we're gonna sing a little bit and rejoice in the God that made a plan for us that we can enjoy true riches. Being faithful with a little and giving, being faithful with what belongs to somebody else, belongs to God. Being faithful with that opens us up to incredible things in the kingdom. He is so good to us. And I am so grateful that he rebukes the devourer. It's so good. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you that all that you are for us. Thank you that we can get the principle of cross training. Not to focus on jumping up high for you, but to focus on the core issues, the core values that you have for us. And if we do that, then we'll just naturally be able to jump higher for you. You're amazing in all your ways, Lord. Help us to keep our focus on what's important to you. And then all of the things that are important to us get added to us. But if we focus on the things that we want added to us, then we end up chasing that all the rest of our lives and not being satisfied. You alone satisfy, Lord. You alone are good. You alone are worthy of all that we could ever pursue. We bless you for your goodness. I ask you to bless each one with an understanding of the immensity of the kingdom value and the kingdom principle in tithing.
Jesus, yes.
Pour it out upon them, Lord. Not that they bring it into this storehouse if this storehouse isn't theirs, but that they catch it and that they live it, oh God.
Yeah.
Being part of your family has a cost. Help us to recognize that cost. Bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.